Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, in which we watch an episode of the Golden Girls, and then we break it down scene by scene, like crazy people. I'm Anthony DeSimito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
I'm Negative
And today...
Steve.
Sorry. do you want to introduce yourself?
I can introduce myself. I'm Negative Steve.
Hi, Negative Steve.
Hello.
So that's your official name. It was just Facebook fucking with you.
That is my official name, unless you talk to my parents.
Oh, then you're Positive Steve.
Then I'm just
they love
then,
you.
Then I'm Steven.
You're neutral Steve.
I'm disappointment
you're like,
Steve.
You're like the first. What's that?
I'm disappointment Steve.
Aw. No, you're a Pokemon before you evolved.
Okay, but one of the first 151, because after that they went all downhill. Anthony
yeah,
taught
after,
me that.
That's what I taught you, right?
I see. I listen.
That's one of Anthony's lessons in life.
Welcome to PokeCast. Yeah.
If you learn anything from me, it's that the first 151 Pokemon are better than the rest.
Right.
And so we usually start off by asking our guest, what is their Golden Girls background? How has Golden Girls shaped or destroyed your life? So go ahead, Negative Steve.
We, you know, as my family, we were very much a TV generation. So we pretty much, that was our only family time, was watching television. So I watched the first two-ish seasons of Golden Girls live, just because it really was the best thing in its time slot at the time. And then like 87, 88 is when I started working at nights and going out and you know, went off to college after that. So my Golden Girls kind of trailed off. I don't know that it ever ruined my life. I've always kind of, you know, since then I've always loved Dorothy.
Yeah, I've become more of a Dorothy fan through like this podcast, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think
if you're just like a regular Golden Girls fan, you usually just say, "Oh, Sophia's my favorite." But if you really dissect the Golden Girls, then you become more relatable to Dorothy.
Well, I have an anti-Sophia thing that I developed after this episode, which I'll bring up when we get to
oh,
it.
Oh man!
But just B. Arthur at the time. I don't remember when the movie Airheads came out, but B. Arthur for a while was just kind of a go-to punchline in pop culture, and it always kind of was like, why are everybody picking on poor B. Arthur?
Yeah, man. That still seems to be the trend,
right?
We're living in dark times.
It was. Reagan was just leaving office. It was dark times for everyone.
All right. And as we do with every episode, well, I'll introduce the title. This is season 4, episode 11, the episode that we watched. And it is titled The Auction. And the original air date is January 14th, 1989. So we're getting there, guys. And as we do with every episode, Genevieve is going to give us a brief synopsis of what we watch for the viewer that wasn't there with us, or the listener that wasn't there to view it with us.
All right.
Go ahead.
Well, guys, the ladies, they need a new roof real bad. Their roof is leaking all over the place, and they barely have enough money to cover it. But they decide to go to an art show to meet eligible men. And they meet one eligible man, the artist, who attacks them. But turns out he's dying. And one of his paintings is going up for auction. And they have a chance to pull their roof money and buy it and profit off his death. So what do you think they did? So,
yeah,
trouble ensues.
This struck me as an odd episode just because there wasn't a B plot. It was all A plot. There wasn't. And then Dorothy is also seeing a guy that isn't working out. It was just all about the roof.
I would say the B plot would be that Dorothy can't find a boyfriend. But it's like, that's very
isn't that the B plot of all
subtle.
Seven seasons?
Yeah.
What was that?
That's the B plot of all seven seasons minus the Stanisode.
Yeah, and that's why she gets married at the end. That's why it's such a triumph for the series.
the show Spoiler the alert. Series should have just been called "Can We Find B. Arthur Some Dick?" That could be the whole thing. Okay, and so we go scene by scene. It may say to the listeners who may be a little confused as to why we're maybe extra giggly, this is our first Skype podcast.
It's very surreal. We have a giant floating hologram of Anthony Decimino's head, kind of like at the end of Wizard of Oz.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah,
you can,
it's just like dripping blood. It's really weird.
That was a really weird Wizard of Oz.
Pay no attention to the man behind the Skype.
I am all shadows, guys, and smoke. I am just an illusion. Anyway, and so I'm in Yuma, Arizona. Negative Steve and Genevieve are in our original podcast room in Arizona in her house. So
we're providing his escape from Yuma.
What's that?
We're providing Anthony's escape from Yuma. So
yeah, thank you.
His spiritual escape, if not physical.
I am like in a lanai, actually, right
he
now.
He is.
Because inside is my family screaming at each other. So I had to leave the house. Anyway,
so you escaped your own Golden Girls for somebody else's Golden Girls.
Yes, yes, exactly. Okay, so we start off with Sophia and Dorothy. Sophia, there's a leak. There's a leak going on. I forget what the situation is at the very top, but oh no, Dorothy. Sophia, there was a wet spot in Sophia's bed, and she's happy to find out that it was a leak.
I think it was implied that there was a storm, but it seemed very nice.
I was confused by that, too. Like, why was there so much water pouring into the house when every establishing shot was dry? Like, did their pipes run through their roof or something?
Well, it's also very weird. Just knowing a little bit about what I know about roof leaks, this is about to get real interesting, guys.
I can't hear you.
That it was in, like, all of them mentioned that it was, like, in their bedrooms or in their closets and stuff like that. That's, like, not really how roof leaks work. Like, it's not usually in, like, multiple places all of a sudden, even after a big storm. Like, that would be, like, you wouldn't notice that, right? Like, that's also, like, not something you would, like, it'd be like a first mention. You'd be like, oh my God, it's leaking in eight different places in our house. Like, it's usually like one or two places.
Maybe they were attacked by a flock of woodpeckers?
Maybe. Yeah. That's a thing in Miami, I'm sure.
Sure.
Maybe they're keeping an above ground pool in the attic. Because there's no other explanation for that much water to be dripping into their house.
Right?
Yeah. Who do you think is starting the above ground pool in the attic? My money's on Sophia.
No, that's got to be Blanche. That's where she takes her her gentleman callers.
Yeah, she's got like a spa.
She's
It's her upstairs sex spa.
Yeah.
Which is why they have no money. Because those things have to be really expensive to maintain.
Yeah,
they
totally.
They have to pay for a masseuse hourly.
Well, towels alone.
Oh, yeah. Towel service.
They're just...
Right. I was really impressed that the buckets that they were collecting the rain or the leak in were color coordinated with the rest of the room.
Yeah, they were kind of that mauve color,
right?
That was so 1989. Like,
yes. Oh my God. Yeah, so that was just confusing. And then Blanche comes out and she's like, Oh, like the leak knocked the Zorro mask out of Ed's hand or something? Like she was having sex and the leak was powerful enough to knock a sexual object that was going to be used for sexual activity out of someone's hand.
A Zorro mask is really just a scarf. It's really just a black scarf with eye holes. So
that's an indication of the times, because now if somebody said they knocked the Zorro mask out of, you would just assume they were doing a video podcast.
Yes.
But in the 80s, that definitely meant sex.
Yes, we're all wearing Zorro masks right now.
Right.
Very much.
Okay, so this roofer knocks on the door. And this roofer is just like, first he wipes his feet on the mat, on the welcome mat, which is for some reason hilarious. And then he doesn't even need to see the roof to quote them $10,000. That just boggled my mind how he couldn't even go up there.
That was a little suspect, yeah, because he mentioned that he saw the hole from just driving up, but that doesn't sound right.
So he must have seen like a giant gap of roof missing from the house.
Or he saw the flock of woodpeckers flying out.
Woodpeckers.
Or maybe there's just a giant sexy spa. Just out of the gaping hole. It's just
the
like...
towel boy was trying to get SOS.
The towel boy is trying to escape. It's out of control. And so $10,000 unseen is what they need to, it's what they're bidding on this fucking roof. And so this guy is also, the roofer is also sick. Like, for some reason, he was, like, coughing. Like, I was like, that guy should have died. Like, he was just sick. I think that actor was like, I want my character to be more three-dimensional. Please make him sick or, like, give him something to do. Like, well, I don't understand.
The sickness was also his excuse why he wouldn't go up and actually look at the roof hole. He was feeling problems with equilibrium, so he didn't want to like climb, which sounds like that's just another layer of the scam.
That I agree with that. That's a layer of Stan. Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Okay. And yeah, like, but that's when you say get another roofer, you know?
Right.
Or wait till he's not sick.
Yeah, but they don't have time to do that narratively. So
yeah, you gotta get that fixed before the pool boy gets out.
You know, yeah, you know why he needs $10,000 is because he needs to pay for chemo because he's gonna fucking die.
That's the theme of this episode. Everybody dies.
Okay, so this guy, this roofer, also he needs to like call his dad. Which was, I thought was really odd to.
Right.
In mm-hmm. the middle of everything.
Yeah, he called them from their house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was odd that he walked in and just after the explanation, just initially started lighting into Rose for being dumb, which that's not a good sales technique.
Yeah, to the people that are going to hire you, you know, for them, you don't want to offend them.
Right.
Okay, and then there was this Murder, She Wrote reference, which I thought was great because Blanche was a guest in Murder, She Wrote, I believe, by this point. And so they kind of made it seem like Murder, She Wrote was like a hard thing, like an easy show to follow, which is it? Was it Murder, She Wrote? I thought some of it was hard to figure out who killed who.
I will not know that until somebody starts a Murder, She Wrote podcast.
No, someone does. Murder, We Spoke. Yeah.
There's Murder, We Spoke, and then there's another one called The Murder She Podcast. I think it's called The Murder She Cast or something like that.
Awesome.
Or yeah. I wanna start one called Murder She Woke.
People are just aware of murders.
Okay. And
I think
so,
that one's called Serial.
Yes.
By the way, his name is Sid Lewis because they keep repeating his name. We know this. And so then they come back out of the kitchen and they decided to like go to ask him if they can do it in payments. And then when they come back out, he's like yelling at his dad. And he's like, "You better fucking pay up, Dad. I fixed your roof."
I almost expected him to threaten to break his dad's kneecaps.
Right.
He's like, "I memorized your phone number and everything."
"I'm going to fucking Dad, come down here with a 45 and stick it down your fucking throat, Dad.
If you want to see Mom in one piece, you better have that check for me.
I have fucking chemotherapy I need to pay for."
"I'm going to fax you your balance of your bill from someone else's house." That's how serious I am.
"Do you guys have a fax machine by any chance?"
"Do you mind if I just wander around your house and use your stuff?"
Right. And then he doesn't even go into the room where there's the leaks, even though there is a leak in the living room later on. He just says, "All right, I'll fix it I'll patch it up. Patch job. They're gonna spend $200 on a patch job." So he sort of just takes off. He doesn't say, "What day is good for you?
Oh man,
how are you gonna pay?" Is the sound off again?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it back on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's...
All right. Okay. So where did I did? What did you guys last hear from me?
He took off and didn't establish how they were going to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He took off. He didn't establish anything about payment. He just leaves. And then Sophia kind of follows him and she's like, "I'm going to go work at a hospital. I'm going to go volunteer at the hospital." And then she says something like, "I'm trying to like find a husband for Dorothy." So this is where the B plot sort of starts.
Yeah, she wants to find her a doctor who's into charity work.
Right. One of those rich charity doctors.
Because according to, Sophia's like kind of extra mean to Dorothy in this episode, like, "Fucking my daughter is charity work," like, which is just like, so I don't know what Sophia's problem is this episode. Then Blanche is like, "Well, Dorothy, if you really want to meet a guy, come to my art show tomorrow. Yeah, our house is falling apart, but let's all go to an art show."
Well, this seemed to be a common trope in the 80s sitcoms of, you know, we live in this wonderful house filled with wonderful stuff. We have these great outfits every episode, but we're always broke.
Yes. And it's like, yes. There are episodes where they have endless amounts of money and they go and they travel and they go to different places. And then there's episodes where they are literally like about to open up a can of Alpo because they're so poor.
Maybe if you just cut down on the shoulder pad budget, you'd have enough room.
Oh, Genevieve, would you turn the I can see Steve a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yay. All right.
Yeah. You see Steve?
I see the corner of both your faces, but it's okay.
That's okay. All right. It's okay. My good corner.
Yeah.
They say that it's a really awesome art show. Like, Blanche is showing them this brochure of the art show, and they really don't get the art, which is fine because art is subjective, but not according to this guy who you need to understand verbatim what his artwork is about. And anyway, but Blanche kept calling the art non-representative. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she went on to discuss what everything represented.
Which makes no sense. Like, if you're, no. if the art is non-representative, then it shouldn't, like, represent anything. Like, you're full of shit, and you work at a museum, basically.
Right.
Yeah, we're just, like, destroying Blanche's whole life philosophy. I mean, we're taking down her... her roof spa.
Her roof spa. Her Zorro boyfriend.
Yeah.
I don't think you get to complain about not having any money and then start bragging about your art gallery job in the same breath. That's
yeah.
just wrong.
We have no money. Let's go hang out with really rich, expensive people. Okay.
Can but you we're going to have to buy new outfits for this gallery opening with the money that we don't have.
Let's wear diamonds and tiaras and go to this museum exhibition. Which, it was weird that, like, that they went to an art show that wasn't Blanche's. Because she works at a museum that they would go to an art show that wasn't in the museum Blanche worked at. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, like, everything was kind of out of her control in this situation. Maybe yeah. they wouldn't have had a fucking mime if Blanche was in charge of that art show.
I'm pretty sure nobody actually booked the mime. He just kind of showed up. Because who wants a mime there?
Unsanctioned performance in this museum.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I kind of thought it was like one of those like local art shows where it's just like, we're just going to have all sorts of art.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna have. I'm surprised they didn't have stand up comedy in the corner.
Like, what stand up comedy in a museum? There's no such thing. There's no such thing as.
I just think that we're not booking enough mimes. Bird City, yeah. Bird City, 2017 mime track.
We're just gonna have mime submissions.
I've never seen a mime in a museum or a gallery or ever. I've never seen a mime in my life, and I.
Well, that's because Bill Clinton banned mimes in 1998.
Yes, it was a very important legislator.
Oh wow, I need to see yeah. this. Well, Sophia harasses the mime. And she says, hey, your fly's open. And then the mime falls over. And that was really silly to me that the mime would, like, really think that his dick is out, you know, to
right.
that.
He's like, not again.
He has to, like, mime put his dick back in. It's just like super long.
He has to mime register as a sex offender.
But he still remained silent the entire time, so at least he was in character as he was panicking.
I think what the writers thought was, what is fancy? Mimes are fancy. Let's put a mime in this museum because that's what fancy shit is. Mime us a roof. Okay. And so
it's like, yeah, they're like mimes, museums, Grey Poupon.
Okay, so this was weird. Like, okay, so then Sophia takes off. She goes somewhere else. We don't know where she goes. And then this was like, okay, so then they find an actual art piece by Jasper de Kimmel, and they think that there's three noses on his non-representational art. Even though they can tell, even though it represents something, anyway. So, but I'll let that go. And so, so Jasper comes in and he's like this like maitre d looking fancy guy, like with kind of like one of those fake American British accents.
Yeah, like Madonna.
Good action. Very good comparison.
I'm glad to see that some of you are enjoying your self-portrait. And then they're like, oh, this is of you? Why did you? And then Rose says, why did you keep the biggest nose? So But he's like, oh, the museum accidentally, like, put the paintings upside down. They always do that. When does that happen?
And why wouldn't he have mentioned that to the museum, I don't know, before the opening?
Yeah, he's like, well, I'm going to die. I'm just going to, like, let them put it up. However, by the way, one of my death wishes is for my last opening to have a mime. Can we somehow manage that? This is like a gallery opening for death, for his, like, I think it's like his death gallery show or something. And he gets to be a dick to everybody. Because
That's his thing. That's his feeling, is if I have to suffer through death, everybody else has to suffer around me.
His make-a-wish is to have gallery opening where everything is upside down. There's a mime. He gets to be a dick to everybody and makes fun of everybody's shoes. And he gets to tell them that they're stupid. And then there gets to be like a piece of glass walked around the museum the entire time.
Yeah.
Now that you put it like that, I kind of want to do this show. The make everyone around me suffer show. I like this.
I definitely want a show where two guys coming in carrying a pane of glass just randomly through a crowded art show.
And has there ever in the history of television or motion picture been a pane of glass that has survived being carried through a scene?
Not one. No. Not a single one.
Not a pane of glass, not a big cake being carried by two chefs.
No lifting a piano onto a second floor of a building has ever made it to that second floor.
Nobody has ever had a successful upstairs spa.
Okay, and so this show is insane. Literally insane. And so, yeah. And so, were they implying that this guy had three dicks?
That was the implication.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, and then there was honestly, this whole, like, okay, if he had three dicks, maybe one of his dicks, like, has the cancer.
I don't want to go through life with only two dicks. Take me now.
Yeah. Only one dick is a cancer nozzle. So.
His cancer nozzle is his dick.
And sadly, it's the biggest one.
Well, that's what increases the girth. It's the tumor.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, and then he was describing he was trying to, like, make them feel stupid by saying, oh, do you see how the paint, the brush strokes represent, like, echo Monet? And I thought he said money. This whole time I thought he said money. Like, how do brush strokes, like, represent cash? So I felt like an idiot.
Well, that was part of his affected, you know, British American accent. Was he was just kind of overpronouncing things weird?
Right. Yeah, because it did. I thought he was saying Monet because he was obviously saying, like, other artists' names. You're right. He was saying Monet, and he just, like, went way too pretentious with it. And it just, like, it was like a swirl in it. And I don't know. I think it's fitting that you thought he said money. And I think it fits in with the episode.
I think it fit in because they really wanted money.
Yeah.
And so, okay. So the next scene, they leave. The Golden Girls leave after Rose destroys their glass. And Sophia is still nowhere to be seen. And so did they just leave Sophia behind?
I think that's her life. It's just getting left behind.
I would just assume that somebody purchased her thinking she was abstract art.
Okay. And so the next scene, it's the leak. That's when they have the whole beach towel, like, scenario. And Blanche doesn't want her beach towel used because she fucked a bunch of dudes on it. And so, yeah, let go of my just crusty fucking beach towel, Dorothy. Like, you don't want that on your ground.
Maybe she's, like, trying to create a guy with that, like, Jurassic Park style.
She can just take the pieces that she wants of everybody that she's fucked on that towel and create the perfect Frankenstein man.
Yes.
She's going to clone the DNA of... Well, she'll have to, like, clone her eggs, like, clone the DNA into her eggs. Okay, this is getting really scientific. Really
yes,
fast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then she tried to lie about it and say that wasn't it. That was what she brought her son Skippy home in.
Yeah.
And I don't remember there ever actually being a son Skippy.
I know there's a... Oh, God. There is a son.
And why would you name your son Skippy? But that's another topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget the name of her son. She's mostly dealt with her daughter so far, I think. You know?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm trying to remember if she's even mentioned a son. It's hard to keep track of the Golden Girls, like, kids, because they basically, like, they all have so many, and they come every other episode.
Yeah. They all, both of them have, Blanche has 5 kids, so does Rose, Dorothy has 3 kids, and then Sophia has 2 kids, I think. Okay, so...
No, Sophia has 3, I think, because Gloria, Dorothy's sister, and
Oh,
and
yeah,
Phil.
Yeah. The transsexual. Okay.
Yes.
And so Sophia comes home, and she had the worst day at the hospital because she's been... I guess she works in, like, a hospice wing... or something, because she deals with, like, the people that are going to die, I guess. And so she's been dealing with Jasper, the guy from the art museum, the artist. And so he's been, like, a total dick to her. And Sophia, because this hospital, you know, they really don't keep track of the information and where it goes. Pretty much any of the volunteers have access to very... confidential information about the patients, and the guy is gonna die basically, and that's when they get the idea to buy his paintings because they're gonna be worth more money.
See, and that was the first impression I got when they mentioned that was I was expecting this to be the long con. Was he was a crappy artist and he was just going to kind of publicly let people know that he was sick so that people would buy his paintings trying to profit off of them, and then it would turn out that, haha, I'm not really sick, I fooled you. But that was not the case.
So he was going to fake going at a business sale, like furniture style.
Right.
Yes.
But it's weird because once he dies, the money doesn't go to him, it goes to whoever bought the piece, you know, or whatever foundation owns the actual piece. It doesn't go into his bank account because it doesn't exist anymore. So I don't think he could get away with it unless somehow, right. Like maybe his husband or his wife. Anyway, I'm getting a little too into this whole scenario. But okay.
The conspiracy theories of the Golden Girls.
Yeah, you gotta stay woke.
Wake up, sheeple.
Okay, so they gonna scam that shit, dude. Okay. There was this part in this scene which kind of bothered me, was when Blanche is like, you guys have to, like, we have to pay for this roof. We have to put our money together. When the house belongs to Blanche, like, Blanche, like Rose is willing to give her $4,000 out of her retirement account to pay for a roof. You know,
well,
like, technically, they're Blanche's tenants. They don't own the house.
The wall hadn't fallen in Germany yet, so communism was still a thing. So it's people's dream, comrade.
You guys, you live under this house. You need to help me pay for this roof.
They're in Florida, so you've got the communists coming up from Cuba and just giving them dangerous thoughts.
Do you think that this episode was pro-communism?
I think so.
Yeah.
The entire series is because it's four ladies living together under one roof, you know, pooling their resources, all for one for all. It's totally pro-communist propaganda.
Yeah.
Oh, we really are getting into the Golden Girls conspiracy theories.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So the next scene, Sophia and Dorothy, it's late at night, and they can't sleep because they feel guilty about making money off something that they're going to legally buy. And they feel bad. Like, I don't understand why they feel bad about it. You know,
I think it was the just profiting off of somebody else's death.
Right. But somebody who called them ugly. They said no. He said to them, it doesn't like he said to them something around along the lines of, you guys don't echo beauty at all. Like, he called them gross. And then he insulted Rose's shoes.
I know. He's so mean to her about her shoes. I think they should do it for that alone.
He called them stupid and ugly. Like, basically. Like, fucking take that dude's money. Or whatever the fuck he has. Fucking take his mime, you know? He's a dick.
Take his mime.
Okay. This whole thing about the killer of San Francisco, the mayor of San Francisco.
Oh, Harvey Milk.
Yeah.
Why was that about?
So there is this councilman that killed Harvey Milk, who was the mayor of San Francisco.
Right.
And he was the first openly gay mayor, I think, in America.
Right.
And he basically killed the mayor, and then he was caught and went to trial. And his defense was, and this is how he got off, he said that he basically went insane because he ate too much sweets, like too many donuts.
Oh. It was Twinkies, because it's actually
Twinkies.
It is referred to as the Twinkie defense in legal precedence.
Yes.
The Twinkie defense?
The Twinkie defense is a real thing.
Yeah. So, and he got off, I believe.
I believe he did.
Yeah, or at least got a lighter sentence, so... Yeah.
Are you sure it wasn't the twink defense? And the twink killed Harvey Milk? Just kidding. Was there a twink in that movie? Probably.
There was. I don't remember.
I think there was a pretty attractive little gay man.
Yeah, little blonde guy, blue eyes. All right. Okay, so... All right, that explains that joke.
Yeah, so let that be a lesson to you, sociopaths.
So make sure like you Twinkies. Use, I think Jodi Arias had a little bit too many Mr. Good bars then. Okay, so then Sophia is like, he needs a rare blood transfusion. So I'm guessing that he has Lou Gehrig's disease or something?
Like a leukemia, or
he just
had generic blood disorder.
Yeah,
dirt dick disorder. The more dick you'll be.
TDD kills thousands every year.
DDD.
TDD, third dick disorder.
TDD. Okay.
TDD.
All right. And so,
please give
generously. Come to our TDD art gallery and mime show.
Okay, all right. And so then Sophia convinces them, don't fucking worry about it. All right, like they basically wasted 3 minutes of this episode to sort of do what they were gonna do anyway in this scene. To me, anyway. And so the next scene is the actual auction.
Yay.
Yay, I guess.
It was wacky.
Yeah.
Dude, all those people know he's fucking dying. They have to be, because a lot of people were excited about his art being sold. And the auction is conveniently the next day. Go figure.
Right.
In the morning, mind you. Okay.
What I got out of this scene is I really want to play poker with Rose.
Oprah?
Yes.
With Rose.
Poker.
Poker.
Oh, man.
Worst poker face ever.
This auction, like, it was weird because, like, there was, like, art in the background that was, like, really loud. It looked, like, very, like, Keith Haring, like, Saved by... I think this auction took place in the Max of Saved by the Bell, because it was out of control. Like,
it looked like this. Actually, it looked like the same art gallery that they were in the other day. It was because it was, like, very... very 1980s with, like, squiggles and bright colors and those, like, that block glass. And
Yeah.
Well, and the weird thing to me was that the first item that, you know, with all of the modern kind of art around them, the first thing they brought up was a Greco-Roman statue, which seemed totally out of place with the rest of it.
Yeah, because that is centuries old. That is an like ancient artifact. And everything else is contemporary, right? Like, here's this old fucking from, like, 12,000 BC fucking statue, $20,000. And some dude is like, I want it. And he had this sex crazed look in his eye. Like, he wanted that statue for other reasons.
Well, and apparently it was a very sexy statue because they were all getting hot and bothered just discussing it.
Yeah, Blanche was like, look at those muscles. And look at that fucking... abdomen, and like the statue was like 2 feet long,
and that is a good that is a good example of representational art.
And it was like made of wood. It looked like it was made of wood. Anyway, and so this guy, okay, the auctioneer keeps changing the way he auctions, because at first he's like 20, do I hear 25, do I hear 30, and then he's like 35,000, like. And, like, he switches to thousands. And then when their painting comes up, he's like 5,000. And then he's like, do I hear 6,000? I'm like, no, you're supposed to go to 10,000.
No, I think the increments change depending on the value. So if you're starting at 10s or 20s, you do a greater increment than if you're starting at 1s and 5s.
I think he goes by... whether or not somebody needs a roof and what and what their limit is and how he's going to edge closer and closer to that limit of $9,000.
Well, how much money do we need to fully cure TDD?
this could have been a charity for TDD, this auction. Okay, the painting, also not abstract, not non-representational. It was literally of a river. Like, like it didn't match anything that they described it prior to this. Like, this could have not been one of his paintings. Okay, and so they get the painting for $9,000 through the hijinks. Because Rose keeps lifting her paddle, and then Dorothy hits her with the paddle, and then she bids even more. And then at some point, Rose even bids against their own bid, which was pretty funny, pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, we've already established that the Golden Girls are not good at the auction process. So the fact that we had a couple episodes where they had to bid on a leather jacket
that belonged to Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was they learned nothing from that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of auctions for people that can't afford a patch on a roof.
Yeah.
And they were like, and none of them were like, whoa, weren't we here like 2 days ago? Trying to like, again really get $10,000 at an auction.
Or maybe that's why they can't afford the patch on the roof, is because they have to pay for their auction addiction. Interventions hadn't been invented yet.
Well, they have to pay museum membership fees to continue invading these auctions. Also, nobody at that museum was like, "Hey, weren't you ones that the girls? Weren't you guys the ones that broke the glass yesterday?" Like, get the fuck out of here. Anyway, okay. And so the next scene is they're where are they at? Okay, they're staring at the painting. They're staring at the they called Sophia at the hospital because they can just call the hospital and talk to volunteers at any moment. They can just give, like, you can just take personal calls at the hospital.
Yeah, no big deal.
No big deal. And then Sophia's like laying on a gurney, like spread out, because, and like there's like a bunch of gurneys out. It's like a real, and then this lady's like eating on the gurney. There's a nurse standing next to her eating on the gurney. And Sophia's just sort of laying next to her, like in one of those like woman eating grapes paintings. It was just, and then the phone was next to Sophia. Like, they just called her and she was by that phone. And she's like, "Yeah, he's gonna live. Because I know this. I'm a volunteer. They keep me, like, they keep me informed here."
Well, I thought the implication was that she gave him blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, she gave him blood, and like she had rare blood, and that's how he lived.
And that kind of pissed me off, because that just seemed like the biggest dick move, because she was the one that convinced them to go against their morals and buy the painting, knowing that he was going to die, and then she prevented him from dying.
Yeah.
She could have dropped the blood in the sink accidentally. She could have drank the blood.
She could have
drank the blood. Yeah. That's how she retains her youth.
She could have accidentally, you know, spilt the blood. Oops.
She could have just not said anything when they said, "Hey, does anybody have this rare blood?" Because, of course, when you're looking for rare blood, the first people that you pull are the volunteers.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
she could have just said, "Nope, I got normal blood. Let him die."
And then she says to the nurse, "We saved his life, and all you get is applesauce and ice chips or something." And it's like her and that nurse saved this dude's life. No doctors involved. Like, this was the work of Sophia. Sophia wants that spa gone. She wants that spa to go away.
My God, yeah.
Okay, all right. And so and then Dorothy faints. She faints on the ground. Okay, well, she should have gone to the hospital. Okay.
I feel like people probably faint at auctions all the time. Yes. I feel like that's like the most common place to faint, like, nowadays.
And quite honestly, now that we know what we know about that hospital, would you want to go there? No, I would just faint and stay where I'm on the ground, much safer.
No, I don't want my information to slip through the cracks of like everything, because they don't keep track of their fucking volunteers' nosiness. Okay, so the next scene, they're in the living room and they're staring at this painting, and they're bummed out because they lost $9,000. And they still have to pay $10,000 more on top of that. Like, Rose is gonna have to empty her retirement savings to fix a roof that doesn't even belong to her. She's gonna have to take a piece of roof with her when she moves out. All right.
If only it worked like that.
Yes, that's how roofs work. I'm kidding. Okay, so the roofer shows up, and this roofer is some roofer because he went to college, because he is very worldly and knowledgeable of contemporary artists, because he recognizes a Da Kimmel, like, right off the back.
I don't know why you got to be so racist against roofers. Roofers can go to galleries just like anyone else.
I am racist against this roofer because he's a dick.
So you're a sidist.
Yes, I'm a sidist. Old Sid Lewis. Okay, so this roofer's like, holy shit, you have a Da Kimmel. I will give you a roof that I haven't even looked at, that I quoted. Just while I was high off cough syrup the other day, and I will fucking give you a 5-year warranty on your roof. And Sophia is like, throw in $2,500 or $300?
$2,500.
$2,500?
And then she raised it because he was annoying her.
Wow, that's a lot. Yeah. Okay, so they're going to make money off of this roof getting fixed.
Yeah. It worked out.
It really did. And so, yeah. Yeah, haggling wins this episode. And the guy's still sick. He's sick. He put up that patch job while he was sick. No wonder it fucking didn't work.
He just, like, patched it with Kleenex.
Yeah. Yay. All right. Well, I think that's it, guys.
I think we're done.
Yay. All right. This episode comes out on, let me take a look real quick at my calendar. It comes out on May 25th. So, Negative Steve, where can people find you online? And do you have any shows coming up after May 25th that you'd like to push?
Sure. You can find me at negativesteve.com. I run a podcast with fellow comedian Jay Gonzo called Cult of Popture at cultofpopture.com or on iTunes. And I'll be all over Phoenix Comic Con. I'm doing the comedy show on June 4th at Comic Con, and then I have two panels on the 4th and the 5th.
Awesome.
Nice.
What are the panels on?
It's called Actually. It's the combination of the two things that nerds love most, trivia and correcting people. So basically, we will stand up and we will say something like, Batman's real name is Jim Smith. And then somebody in the audience will have to get up and say, actually, and then correct us.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Great. Yeah. And Genevieve, where will you be after May 25th? And where can people find you inside their smartphones?
All right. Well, my next show is going to be May 28th. It's actually going to be here in my house. We have a couple of special guests. We have Brandy Posey from LA is coming out. She's doing she's on her Up Dog comedy tour, and she's hitting a couple cities and doing her house. And it's also going to be one of Anthony DeSemito's last shows in Phoenix. So he's doing a nice long set. And we also have Matt Storrs and Ali Lightfoot and Leslie Barton and me.
Hey.
And food.
And cats.
And cats.
Mom's doing a tight five.
That's going to be so much fun. Okay. And so I'll be at that show, as Genevieve said. And it's one of my last shows in Phoenix because I'm moving to the City of Angels. Los Angeles de Guadalupe de mi corazón. That is the full name of Los Angeles. I'm going to be at that show. And also, I think I have a show that day, May 25th. Oh, yeah. I'll be at... Oh, the day before, I'm going to be at Comedy on Fire. I'll be featuring as well for somebody. And
I think Polly's headlining, I think.
I think it's Polly.
Did the audio go out?
It's Polly Casillas.
Oh, Polly because he is the headliner. Yay.
Yeah.
Okay, and so that's going to be awesome. And I'm at Anthony DeSimito on Twitter and Instagram. And along with our own individual Twitters, the podcast also has a Twitter, and it's at TiffBap, at TYFBAP. It's at Thank You For Being a Podcast, but as an acronym. And you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or any other platform you listen to us today. The next episode, for those of you following along, it is Season 4, Episode 12, and it is titled Blind Date. And it is a pun, because there's a blind guy in it. I saw spoilers. The thumbnail on the DVD. And there was definitely a guy with a walking stick. And so that one's going to be very politically incorrect. So stay tuned. And thank you again, Negative Steve. And,
well, thanks for having me.
Genevieve, thank you for Skyping me in. And everybody have a beautiful day and or night. Yay!
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff the chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken.